name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus selected John the Baptist as the greatest person who ever lived. This great wilderness preacher then certainly can teach us an important life lesson. I therefore urge you this morning to learn of John. This is the lesson. Learn of John how to conquer doubt. John was in prison because of his courage. Herod had put him there when the rustic wilderness preacher would not be silenced in his bold, outspoken denunciations of the king's sin of adultery. It was hard on John being in prison. He was a man of motion, sturdy and robust, constituted for roaming the desert dunes and rolling hills. Therefore, the lonely confinement of the royal dungeon began to have its sinister effect. Like the rats that probably scooted to and fro on the damp floor of his cell, little bands of doubt began to run through his soul. What about this Jesus whose way he paved by his preaching? Was he really God's Messiah? If so, why hadn't he fulfilled John's fearful foretelling, grabbed the axe and the fan, and begun the slaughter of the godless? Where was the holy wind and the fire of judgment prophesied by the Baptist? Thus far, all he heard about this Jesus was of meekness and sympathy for sinners. This he didn't understand. Had he perhaps erred in his estimate of the man of Galilee? And so the rats of doubt began to gnaw and chew on the soul of the imprisoned herald. Do you have doubts? Do you wonder about the Christian creed you confess? Is it merely some cleverly devised fable hatched in the fertile brain of some deceiver? Or is it truth from heaven? It must be frankly admitted that not one confession of our creed can be substantiated by logic or reason or science. The foolishness of our faith is staggering. And what about the Bible? How can we be sure God wrote it? And what about this Christ? How can we be sure that he was who he claimed to be? Our only proof is the testimony of a few unlearned, rustic friends and followers of his. And will it be as the scriptures picture it when the last moment of time blends into the first moment of eternity, or will we then see too late that it is not faith alone in Jesus' merits and miseries that save, but a combination of counting on Christ and on one's own semi-saintly ways? Has Christ really paid for everything, or does God expect us to toss in a few dimes and dollars of our own efforts? And if so, how many? And when it comes right down to it, who has ever come back from the grave to assure us that our faith in the afterlife is not folly? Like John, we often find ourselves in the prison of doubt. How can we escape? Learn of John. He went directly to Christ, and he got an answer, the same answer that Jesus gave to the unbelieving Pharisees in John 6:35, "The works I do bear witness that the Father has sent me." Evidently, the second voice in the wilderness had forgotten or overlooked the testimony of the first desert voice when he said, in reference to the coming Messiah, "The eyes of the blind shall see, and the poor shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, the lame man shall leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. That's what the first wilderness voice said that God's Messiah would do. And that's what Jesus of Galilee was doing. Therefore, the second desert voice should listen to the first and then compare what he hears with what he sees in Jesus of Galilee. Like John, we too must go directly to Christ if we would rid ourselves of the gnawing rat of doubt. Don't make the painful mistake of looking inside yourself for the power to transform a little faith to a big one. You don't find the sun of assurance which dispels the mists of doubt within yourself, in your own feelings and fears, your own limited understanding and reason, your own conclusions and opinions. If one on occasion has the fleeting moment of doubt about the truth and the authority of Scripture, don't read about the Scripture, but in the Scriptures. That's where Christ meets you to make your faith bigger. Christ comes to you in the Lord's Supper and in the daily remembrance of your baptism. You know something else? He comes to you in your fellow saints. And there, you can expose yourself to the bracing, bolstering words which Jesus speaks to you through the lips of a fellow sister or brother. I don't know about you, but that's one of the reasons I come here to worship every day. We're here to talk and pray and sing together, to bolster another's fainting, faltering faith. For as I listen in corporate worship to my brothers and sisters as they stalwartly confess Christians' creed and sing of their faith buoyantly in Him, I'm made bolder in my believing. For then I know that I'm not the only fool who stakes time and eternity on the foolishness of the gospel. There are others, a whole host of them, and they'll help me with my littleness of faith by their bold confession. Take advantage of your brother and sister when you're in doubt. Talk to the Christ who will encourage you through their words. And when you're down in doubt, go up to Christ. And he will tell you two things, just like he did John. First, hear the word. The bigness or littleness of your faith is directly dependent upon the condition of your ears. If they're open to the frequent and fruitful hearing of God's voice, your faith is bound to get bigger. For littleness of faith is often due to plugged ears. Ears that can't hear God because they're stuffed too full of the cotton of concern for school, business, family, fun. Secondly, Jesus tells you, even as he did John, see the word. You can. It shows itself all around you. See the scales of ignorance fall from the eyes of those who once served Satan but who now confess Christ. See that miracle each time a baby or an adult gets God's eternal breath in baptism. See the lame leap in glad adoration as their limbs are loosed from the crippling paralysis of sin. See lepers laugh as their sin-spotted souls are cleansed by the washing of Christ's holy blood. See deaf people smile as their ears are unstopped and they hear the new message God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not counting their trespasses against them. See the poor get rich on God's good news about the blotting out of their life's badness through the blood of Jesus. And as you see these miracles, see God at work and believe. Is there anyone here this morning who is so full of doubt that he cannot confess Christ as his sin bearer and only hope for heaven? I doubt it. Well, can't you see that the very fact that you still count on Jesus of Galilee as the saving net into which you leap from the burning building of death, hell, and sin is God's guarantee that he is present and powerful in you. Your very faith, as little as it is still God's gift, and he is at work in you. Do you want the mustard seed of faith in you to become a mountain? Then do as Christ suggests in the text. Hear the word, see the word. Herein is the lesson.